holding a joint public hearing to consider amendments to Chapter 4 of the Eugene Springfield Metropolitan Area General Plan, which is called the Metro Plan. When we get to this point, if you'd like to speak to this topic, please fill out a request to speak form. And it's going to go, I believe, to Amy.
Yeah, and the cards are right here.
Okay. So I'm thinking, did you want to take a moment to introduce the staff that we have present so that...
Yeah, let me clarify. We'll be holding a work session
first.
And so the reading of the ordinance and some of the other things are mentioned in the script are really important for the conduct of the year.
Right, but if people want to fill out a request to speak form...
They can do that. We just need to hold it for the hearing.
Right, but please feel free to get it filled out now so Amy's got them before we start a public hearing. Sure. So we want to introduce the staff that's been...
Yes, we do.
So I'll open the work session for the City of Springfield with roll call.
Mayor Lindberg?
Here.
Councilor Van Gordon?
Here.
Councilor Wiley?
Here.
Councilor Moore?
Here.
Councilor Ralston?
Present.
Councilor Woodrow?
Here.
Councilor Brew?
Here.
Okay, I'll open the Lane County Board of Commissioners meeting to order, and the only one not present is Commissioner Buzovich, and he is excused.
And I will open the Eugene City Council work session.
Okay.
So, I'm looking over here. This one. You want to
Mark, did you want to introduce
any of the staff? Yes, I'd like to introduce Keir Miller, Lane County, and Alyssa Hansen with City of Eugene. They've contributed a great deal to both the product and the process, and I really appreciate their work. And I have encouraged these two folks to speak up and in a rush to correct me. I have a way of putting my foot in my mouth, and I'm not at all embarrassed by having other people who are more talented than I share their expertise. But I'd also like to introduce Lauren King of the City Attorney's Office. We have worked carefully with not just the Springfield City Attorney's Office, but also with Lane County Council and Eugene Council as well, over many, many months of putting together the recommended amendments to Metro Plan Chapter 4. Would you both like to introduce yourselves around the table?
I think everyone is familiar. Okay.
We're here tonight to consider changes in Chapter 4 of the Metro Plan, which is the key chapter that describes the process for which you make Metro Plan changes and describes how you check the changes and who participates in decision making. And as we're approaching adoption of documents like Springfield 2030 and Vision Eugene, we're looking at a different paradigm for future comprehensive planning in Eugene Springfield Peninsula area. And we feel that to get to where we want to go, one of the first steps we need to do is to make some changes in the current Metro Plan Chapter 4 that will help us get where we want to go eventually. So this is a first step. We'll be coming back for additional steps. So it'll be a gradual iterative process. The Metro Plan has been a very important document to our region, and we're not just going to throw it out willy-nilly, but we're going to make careful decisions about making changes that will allow us to gradually disengage and have separate community plans, but make sure that we have a framework that allows for collaboration where it really needs to be place and that we are. And as much as we enjoy our economy, we are closely related and we want to keep that for the future. I'm going to, in your packets, I should say, there are materials that carefully break down virtually every change that we're proposing in the Chapter 4. I don't propose going through every change. At least our council, and I believe Eugene Council, has had a chance to go through in detail and discuss the changes. That said, I'm going to hit some of the more important changes, and then we'll stand open for any additional discussion of other changes that are in your materials that we don't bring up. So in highlighting the changes, we're not trying to gloss over or skip by things that might be of particular importance to you. But I'd rather speak more briefly and then let you ask questions and have discussion.
So I don't know, I know we were talking about this before the meeting, but I just wanted to be sure we talked about it before we got into it, that we actually have three different documents that we're working from. They have their ordinance proposal, which is different than our ordinance proposal, which is different than, or they have commonalities, but they're each written slightly different at this time. And I think we'll be, you know, people will want to know what those differences and similarities are, so we know that what we're working on.
In essence, and I'll jump right to that, we'll come to it a little later, but on October 15th, your respective planning commissions met, considered these same changes. Each of the commissions met individually and deliberated and made recommendations to staff and to their councils and commissioners about changes they'd like to see in the draft document that they reviewed. Staff took most of those changes and recommended changes and integrated them into the draft that is before you. There was one key change, however, that staff did not put in initially. It had to do with timelines for processing and approving metro plan amendments. And staff had taken out or recommended removing references to timelines for processing from Chapter 4. The Planning Commissions for Eugene and Springfield recommended restoring some form of timelines for Chapter 4. We put together two ordinances for Springfield. One is recommended Chapter 4 with timelines, and the other recommended Chapter 4 without timelines. And the difference is simply one, well, two sentences. And the two sentences are one sub-element of the policy. And so tonight, we need to, I think, in work session, come to agreement about whether we have timelines referenced in Metro Plan Chapter 4 or not. Outside of that one difference, the ordinances and the amendments recommended for Chapter 4 are substantively identical, which is the test that we have for adoption. So it's that one issue. And so with that, I think I'd like to launch into...
Well, can I stop just for a second? Because Springfield is the only one that has two options on the table this evening.
I guess I was told, does the Eugene Council have the Springfield package? I guess I was told that Eugene does have our materials.
I believe that ours actually had to go to print before your revised ordinance was in there. And so I think that what was at your table today has the updated two different versions in it. What was actually in the Eugene ordinance, or the Eugene packet, was the ordinance pre-planning commission recommendations. And that's because of some of the charter requirements we have around noticing and what needed to be included. So it's a little confusing.
If I could just jump in and clarify what the Lane County Board has performed. You have an updated packet that just shows the recommendations from our planning commission, which did not include the timeline recommendations. So
can you speak up? We can't hear you over here.
Sorry, Mr. Sorensen. You have a packet that just includes the recommendations from the Lane County Planning Commission. You don't have two separate ordinances in your packet.
Okay, so I think for our benefit, we need some clarification as to, before we go into the public hearing, we need to have only one version of the
Yes, that's our goal. Okay. And I'd like to work with you as we go through this work session process to make a decision, I think, by consensus, should we or should we not have the two-sentence line item added or subtracted.
Okay.
Okay.
Are you finished?
Yeah.
So my question is, you just used the word, they're not substantively different from each other.
Right. In the existing development code, that's the criteria that the three jurisdictions have to adopt, a substantively identical ordinance for a metro plan amendment to be approved. And so what we want to do is get us on the same page with that timeline issue, because right now, we don't have that substantively identical.
There's nothing substantively different about the main features of the ordinance for all.
The rest of the ordinance, as we discussed, is all the same between the three jurisdictions. Now, that doesn't mean other things can't be raised here tonight, but we'll cast a shadow on a lot of other things. But the issue of timelines is one that we'll focus on and then kind of go from there. We'll not be taking final action tonight. As we mentioned, there's at least one issue, timelines for approving amendments that need to be resolved and hope to find consensus before we go into the public hearing. And then we hope that at the end of tonight, the work session and the public hearing, you will walk away this evening with each of the jurisdictions being positioned to be able to take final action on a single substantively and identical ordinances. Doing this will prepare the way for us to move forward on other things. Chapter 4 describes the amendment process for not only the metro plan, but also refinement plans and functional plans like grants plan, public facilities and services plan, other important regional documents, plus community documents like we have a land lane comp plan that we will, our council will be adopting later this evening. That is a type of metro plan. Metro plan changes that we're talking about this evening will not affect the public facilities and services plan because this is a unique document and it has its own chapter on how to amend that particular document. The changes we make to Chapter 4 will affect a myriad of other refinement plans and functional plans that do not have their own chapter on how to make amendments. I'm going to hit, again, just the highlights. We're going from a rather difficult classification system for types of metro plan amendments. We're proposing to go from a type 1 and type 2, which are amendment types which alternately can involve one, two, or three different jurisdictions. We want to go to a typing system where type one says that one jurisdiction can make a decision. Type two is where two jurisdictions are needed to make a decision. And type three is when all three bodies would need to win. So it's a fairly common sense thing which planners are not known for. But nonetheless, we're going to make that change. You laugh, but I did not invent type one and type two. That was before my time. Amendments to the UGB or the metro plan boundary. We're proposing that all three governing bodies approve amendments to the common urban growth boundary that we now have along I-5, or for a UGB or metro plan boundary that crosses I-5. The home city and Lane County would participate in UGB or plan boundary amendments east of or west of I-5. So Springfield would work with Lane County exclusively on UGB expansion east of I-5. Eugene would work with Lane County on the west. Just as we go through tonight, we'll be talking about three different areas of jurisdiction and authority. In the pale yellow, and I'm not quite colorblind, but halfway there, these are the city limits for Eugene and Springfield. The areas in the darker yellow-gold color are those areas that are inside the urban growth boundaries but outside the city limits. And then the dark green shows the metro plan boundary with respect to the Eugene UGB, which has not changed yet. The reason we show these, because we'll be talking at different times about the home city alone making decision that is site-specific, and in those cases, the pale yellow Eugene or Springfield, if a metro plan amendment is site-specific and occurs within those pale yellow areas, you would be acting alone. If you're making a decision that's site-specific and it affects that yellow-green area, then we'll be working with the county and the home city. And finally, decisions in the metro plan boundary can involve all three jurisdictions, but I think that's probably going to change in the future. So that's what we're trying to do, is establish again who participates. When can you make a decision by yourself? When do you need to work with the county? When do we all need to work together? So there are some changes there. Amendments to regional transportation plan, systems plans, and so on. What we'd like to propose is that any change to a regional system plan or public facilities plan, let me back up, any regional plan apart from the public facilities and services plan, be categorized into a type 1, type 2, type 3 based on, will that amendment affect just the home city, or will it have an effect that goes beyond the home city and for the community? Again, decisions, metro plan amendments that are non-site specific that affect all three jurisdictions would be a type 3, where if we're making, for example, a change to transplant, and we're changing text to the policy of transplant that would affect all three jurisdictions, that kind of text amendment would require all three bodies to be a type 3. If there was an amendment to, say, the project list in Springfield, where we have 42nd Street, and we want to change that project, it's something that's specific to Springfield, Springfield will be able to act on that transplant project because it's just within Springfield. If there was an amendment to the Bonstrop Parkway, which is both inside Springfield and inside county jurisdiction and the UDB, then the two of us would be working together. So again, the first step would be to classify the type of amendment it is, and that classification would then tell us how many different bodies would participate. Repeating myself again, the public facilities plan has its own prescription for amendments, and we'll talk a little bit about that because it uses a word called regional impact that we'll discuss. Here it is. Maybe one of the more controversial, I mean, that's perhaps the wrong term, aspects of the metro plan. There are instances where the current language will allow Springfield or Eugene to weigh in on a decision by their jurisdictional partner on the assumption that there would be some kind of regional impact if a decision is being made in the non-home city. We can probably all think of instances where, you know, we would like to be able to say something. We would like to get to a point where we're recognizing autonomy between the communities, where Eugene can make decisions for Eugene about Eugene, and that we not weigh in. And regional impact is one of those things where the current language is squishy enough that it's conceivable that Eugene or Springfield could weigh in on each other's decisions in a way that, well, we'd like to limit the possibility. And so regional impact language in general is removed. But there is regional impact language in the public facilities plan that covers water, wastewater, sewer, and other basic utilities that is not going to be removed. Those protections of services where something in Springfield that might have an impact on stormwater facilities that also serve Eugene, those are under review, and those would be subject to joint multiple jurisdiction review. Springfield wants to change the metro plan designation of some portion of its city from residential to commercial, and we would have the ability to do that without the prospect of regional impact being triggered unless there was clearly an impact on one of those facilities covered by the public facilities and services. This is something that is no longer applicable, unless it's part of that region of the conflict. Conflict resolution. Right now, if there is a conflict within the decision-making process, that conflict is recommended to the, or taken to the Metropolitan Policy Committee. What's being proposed is that the mayors and the board chair get involved as appropriate to resolve disputes. If there is a type 3 amendment, where there's no consensus, then the mayors and the board chair would meet together with staff as needed and so on to work out a solution. There would not be the referral to the Metropolitan Policy Committee.
Has there been a conflict in recent years that needed resolution?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say I would defer to others.
Delta Center Brown House the last. That was the NBC. So, yes, that's the one that I believe was the last one. And that was also one where Springfield did opt out in the original with the Metro Plan Amendment, because that was one where it took off the jurisdictions. Springfield voted to opt out, so it was just between Lane County and the city of Eugene. But that was the last time that the conflict resolution went to NBC.
So it's not commonplace then?
No, it's not.
And not at all.
Again, the intent, I think, is simply to simplify a decision or a conflict resolution and put that resolution into the hands of the parties that are directly involved. Then the issue of timelines. We've talked a little bit about that already. The current language talks about if one or two jurisdictions are involved in the amendment process, then the decision on that amendment needs to be made within 120 days of the initiation date. If all three governing bodies are participating in a decision, that decision needs to be made within 180 days. The staff had originally recommended removing the timelines. Planning commissions for Eugene and Springfield recommending restoring some form of those plans. The alternative, the two sentences I was speaking of before, what's different between the two ordinances is this language right here. There is an 8H, policy 8H. Quasi-judicial metro plan amendments shall be decided within 120 days of initiation. Legislative metro plan amendments will be decided within 180 days of initiation. That is the language that's different between the two ordinances. And that's one thing that we need, I think, to resolve going into the hearing, or I hope that we can, so that we're on the same page. Do we have timelines or not? Are these the right timelines? So.
Yes, Dave.
Well, then, I mean, since we're talking about it, don't you think this is a good time to decide that?
It happens that this is the last slide, so we're, the timing is good. Yes.
I just want to make a comment when we get to that point.
I think we're ready to talk about
timelines. Yeah, so if you want to go ahead, Dave.
No, you know, I understand the timeline aspect of it, because without the timeline, then something could go on indefinitely. And I think developers or whoever makes wants a decision, they need to have some certainty that it's going to happen at least within a certain time, not get dug out forever. So, I mean, I think that's the point that we need to try to discuss. And you know, I was a planning commissioner, so I understand that. And, I think that there's a good reason for having it in there.
Well, I'm curious to know what the reason of the original staff recommendation to remove the timelines.
Well, I think there were three things that were identified. One, there's no statutory requirement. When Councillor Ralston was talking about, you know, an obligation that cities have to properly process development applications. By state law, someone coming in for a permit or a site plan review and so on, if it's, there's a 120-day window that we have to work with within the city. I believe the county has a 150-day window. For metro plan amendments, comprehensive plan amendments statewide, I think deliberately, there is no timeline set for that kind of action. So it's a little different. Developer has a right to know. It's just in the context of those comprehensive plan amendments, the state has left that window open. So that's one. There's no statutory requirement. Two, time frames might unnecessarily restrict the ability of our cities and elected officials to process things in the timely fashion or in the fashion that they feel like they need to process. So, to be honest, many of the legislative plan amendments that we initiated in the last several years have gone beyond the 6 months. And sometimes it's just unavoidable. I mean, how often do you folks have a chance to meet like this? Probably more often than what you really want. But nonetheless, it's not easy to get folks together for multiple meetings. And so I'd like to lastly, I have a third one. The other thing is that right now, with our current timelines, there's no enforcement mechanism in the metro plan that says if you don't do this, you'll be hung by your thumbs. So I guess the staff was just trying to be realistic and not setting up expectations in the metro plan that often we miss.
Right, yes, I think that makes sense, especially if it's an extremely complex change. I can see it very well taking longer than 120 days.
Getting back to Councillor Ralston's issue, we're not throwing away the 120 days that developers need to get a decision to move ahead on a project.
Okay. I have Bob who said.
So I'm only partially being facetious, but for what? 120 days or what?
Right.
I know that in some land use decisions, if it's not approved within that timeline, it's assumed to be either approved or there's consequences for not making a decision in a timely manner. Is there any consequences, or is the result it happens or it doesn't happen, or?
There are no consequences in the current metro plan language. What we're restoring is pretty much the timelines, at least in terms of the number of days that were there before. There's no statutory state stick to enforce timelines because there's no requirement for it. So I think it's a matter of, as always, when a community makes policy out of good faith, they try to keep those timelines, they try and keep that policy, even if there isn't a stick. And I can understand where, from the perspective of a community, it would be, our commissioners thought, why don't we have timelines? We need to somehow assure people that we're going to act promptly. But I think if our councils and our commission are committed to acting in good faith and in a timely manner as best they can, and getting the job done right, that's sort of where staff came down. And again, recommending removal, we were basically taking it on faith that our commissions and our councils would act in good faith and in a timely manner, but also take the due time necessary to make a good decision.
So follow up. So does, by having that in there then, doesn't that open us up for a legal challenge or a lawsuit if we fail?
In our current development codes, and one of the recommended amendments, almost a housekeeping thing, we give ourselves permission to modify the timeline or modify the process by agreement with the participating jurisdiction. So if in the future we could see that we're not going to meet a certain timeline, we can agree amongst jurisdictions that we're going to have some alternative course. Again, I don't know that we're being exposed legally, but nonetheless, like I say, we were trying to avoid setting up an expectation that may not be met, but we understand the desire as expressed by our commissions to have some kind of timeline.
If I could just clarify too and jump in real quick. I to answer the question, I think Mark answered it, but also to answer that, I think that because there is not a provision in state law where the timelines are codified in state law, that if we don't follow the process, somebody could then appeal us, look for a writ of mandamus, and then the action is approved. So there isn't that kind of backstop there. So I don't see that as being an issue. And then our code, just to clarify, we each have these policies in our metro plan, and then we have code language in our respective land use code that implements this language. The language in the county code makes it specific to those timeline waivers for government-initiated plan amendments only. So we can waive those timelines when it's an amendment that the county or the city initiates. So we have that flexibility, but not for citizen-initiated plan amendments. And then just to back up quickly, another reason for our planning commission why they didn't recommend any of these timelines in is there was an understanding that the majority of these metro plan amendments are actually initiated by the jurisdictions and it's not from the applicant. So we're amending our parks plan or our comp plan, and it made sense to them that we would be able to modify our timelines if we needed to create a good municipal product.
I have Sid and then George.
So I think, Kara, I think you just explained it very well on that. And that was, what we're doing today is we are looking to amend Chapter 4. This is a non-site specific. So this is the key, is if you're looking at a site specific, then you should be under 120 days, 180 days. You're not under that. And so my suggestion is really not to have timelines. The last time I checked, we're under SB 100. We're the only state in the country that is under SB 100, which means there's no way in God's green earth, if you want to do an urban growth expansion, you're going to fall under 120 to 180 days. Ain't going to happen. Welcome to Oregon. So I think what we're looking now again, if Eugene and Springfield, we're under the metro plan, so we're one plan between the two cities. We don't have separate comp plans. Say Springfield wanted to have that as a separate comp plan, they could, and maybe Eugene not. That'd be a choice, but because we're under one metro plan, and again, we're looking at Chapter 4 of the metro plan. We're not looking at a specific development proposal. And so I think that's where having the timelines, I believe what we can do is cause more harm than, especially in the short term. While it sounds good, the reality is, unless you have a site-specific where somebody's coming up with permits, that's one thing. But this isn't what we're talking about. And so I thank you for clarifying that. I think that's the key as we go through this. Remember, it's DLCD. And I don't care if we co-adopted this and went up to DLCD. 120 days ain't going to happen. Too much experience with it. So that's why I don't think timelines in this are probably not necessary. Again, Chapter 4, Metro Plan, non-site specific. I think that's the key piece of this whole thing.
Let me clarify, there can be Metro Plan amendments that are site specific. And what we talk about, again.
But this one isn't. It states it isn't, at least right here in my text states that it's non-site specific.
No, there
are. This proposal is characterized as Type 1 non-site specific text amendment.
I guess what I was trying to clarify is there are certain kinds of metro plan amendments that are site specific. If, for example, there is a metro plan diagram designation for an area that's currently residential, we want to create a shopping mall. And so we would change the metro plan designation from residential to commercial. That's site specific. In those cases, we can process those, again, because we'd probably be a type 1, maybe type 2. I think it's realistic for a city to make an amendment within its own jurisdiction within 120 days. I don't think that's difficult. You'll probably run into our legislative amendments that are policy-oriented, where they are complex. They take more time.
don't you still have to, that would still have to be co-adopted by the county? Would that be the case?
If a metro plan amendment is taking place falling within the city limits, it would be a type one if it's a site-specific.
That means it's the, only the city would have to.
Only the city, okay, got it, all right.
That's a change.
Okay.
That's different.
That is not a change. So if it's inside, if you look at that map over there and you see the light yellow color, and those are inside the city limits, so currently, that would be the city's jurisdiction and decision-making. That is not changing at all.
I got it, yeah, all right.
Again, we're putting timelines on things that, for the most part, we can meet when we're talking about site-specific.
Okay, I got it.
It's not hard, it's just when we're getting into that, legislative cross-boundary policy stuff that takes longer.
Sure.
Got it, thank you.
Well, in the time, since I raised my hand now, the questions I had got discussed, so. But one other thing, is there any thought into, as far as the timelines, of adding wording that maybe a mutually agreed upon extension of those dates, if you get into something that's really complex, you find out you can't get it done in the timeline, is there any wording being proposed to do that?
The wording is right here for right now as it applies to timelines. Again, there is already policy in our implementing development codes, or respective implementing development codes, that allows us to modify timelines or processes. That's already there.
For government, I'm sorry, yes.
But if you think what's up here could be modified to better suit your concerns, then that would be something that we would talk about here tonight. There's no other language out there.
Chris.
Thinking about what is the problem we're trying to fix? And there's potentially two problems. One problem would be the timeline is too short and we can't get things done in this timeline. It sounds like more often than not, that would be the actual problem that would occur, is because of the complexity of these, they're going to take too long. They're going to take longer than that amount of time. The other problem is limbo. We start working on something and it goes into limbo, and we never hear from it again. And I think that might be the Planning Commission's concern, is that things could go into a limbo and you never know what's going on. In terms of the likelihood of which one of these would occur, it sounds like the more likely problem that would occur is we can't get it done in time, rather than something going into limbo. I don't know how often things go into limbo, but I think what you could do is, instead of having a timeline to prevent that, you could say when things go longer than some amount of time, you get back to the elected bodies and let them know where things are. And I think that's the best way to prevent things going into limbo, is keeping the bodies informed. So you don't have to set a timeline. I would remove 8H. I don't think that needs to be there. But I think to prevent the problem of some of this stuff just disappearing, is you have a checkback element there that says after, you know, wherever this thing is in 120 days, let the bodies know. Is it on the verge of being resolved? Is it still need more time? I think information is the best way to prevent limbo, whereas the other problem is a very real one, and I think the timeline could be that.
Claire.
Yeah, thank you. So I appreciated Sid's comments. I think, and you kind of explained this a little bit too, that any metro plan amendments that are initiated by the jurisdiction, they don't want them to go into limbo, and they would like them to proceed, you know, a pace. So there wouldn't be any motive for a delay. You know, I can understand with when there were three jurisdictions trying to deal with something that could extend a long time, and having a timeline attached to that process helps move things along. But since we're separating those things out, that doesn't seem to be as much of an issue any longer. So I would worry about keeping in timelines that aren't required and don't have any enforcement mechanism behind them. I think that creates an opportunity for confusion and interference in a process in a way that can suck staff time and serves no purpose at this point. So I kind of like Chris's idea of you know, a check-in process, but not a strict timeline for something to be done, particularly since we're learning that pretty much the timelines get long because of all the bureaucracy involved to kind of meet the changes, so.
Mayor, I think Mr. Dubin.
I just wanted to point out that we're talking about government-initiated micro plan amendments, and there's always a government who is the initiator who will be more than happy, I'm sure, to try and continue to progress the agreement by keeping in touch with all of the other parties involved.
I have Sharon and then Mike and Lisa.
So that's a good point. So Mike, is there anything in this agreement that says that we will all be bargaining in good faith in a sense? You know, it says that all of the restrictions will be moving forward. What I could see happening is if one of the jurisdictions did want a Plan 3 to happen, and one of the jurisdictions didn't want it to happen, it could just sort of
sit on it.
No. And so I don't see that the timeline would necessarily make that happen. Oh, I know that never happens around here, but anyway, is there in this language, in this, something that says that we will all work together in good faith to resolve? Yep. We have an intergovernmental agreement that says that.
There's not anything in the code currently. We could make up something to the effect of that metro plan amendments will be processed by each jurisdiction in good faith.
Right. Well, I just think that would then take care of the issue of somebody maybe just, because we're not just doing that for now. I know we all get along right now, but we're also doing this for the future.
Thank you. History shows that delay sometimes serves as denial. And while these are government initiated, there are certainly many people whose plans and fortunes rest on the speed at which we get these things done. And their planning certainly hinges on our efficiency of accomplishing some tasks of this type. And we are now in the near seventh year of our new EGB in Eugene, and I'm hopeful we'll have one next year. I can count noses. It sounds like I may be in the minority, but I certainly would be in favor of a time specified.
So I think Sherry raised a good question, and I'll just some of us have been around for a while, blue water boats. Mm-hmm. So that was one where there was a lot of conflict, but I think it was NPC actually, where a lot of language was changed up with the metro plan at the time. And that, and I think since then, I don't believe there's been an issue where one jurisdiction has decided to jump in to stop another jurisdiction from doing something because of some of the language changes that occurred. And the other on the timeline issue is, and I appreciate you clarifying this specific within the city specific. Thank God 120, 180 days, we're not there when PCLs was trying to build. So, because that was actually within the jurisdiction, we had to do some changes out there with the Gateway Climate Plan. And it took, I'll look at Greg and Lynn and Jeff and say, how many years that take? It took a while. So it didn't take 180 days the last time I checked, I don't think, did it? Okay. So that, I think that there's an example maybe. Now, granted, that's a huge project, but who knows? You may get another large project looking in the community, and I think it would be very challenging to fall into 180 days. I just feel like that you don't want to put yourself in a bind by a 180-day issue. And then I think you brought up the enforcement piece. What is the enforcement piece? I mean, if the state doesn't enforce that, what is it? I mean, how would we put that kind of language in this plan to try to enforce the 120 or 180 days? I have no idea. Do we have the metro plan police that would come around and enforce that? I don't know.
We can't afford those.
Looking at Rick Lewis, maybe he can help us out with that. No, I'm just kidding.
Thank you, Mayor. A couple of questions on that. The obstructionist nature of some people to draw things out until it does go away. I'm a little worried about the possibility of, for instance, a third-party lawsuit to the extent that so that the timeline was hit, once the timeline was hit, and the entire plan just went away. So that, if you know, I guess, can you reassure me that at the end of the timeline, since we don't have a timeline police, that the proposed change doesn't just go away because it fails for lack of motion or for lack of activity?
I think we have timelines now. There is no enforcement mechanism. Things do get drawn out. I think the feeling is that when are we going to make a decision where you're the initiating body, you know, come on, let's do something.
And I think the timeline's a great thing if there are teeth in it that doesn't say, well, if we go beyond the timeline, then the best way to plan of these mice and men goes away.
Right.
Start again at some point in the future.
It is. I think on the one hand, it may take some statesmanship amongst whether it's the mayors or individuals to resolve the conflict, a la Loop and Waterboat. I'm not picking on that one. But I'm speaking personally as a planner, not as representative. I think what's helpful is if, say, Springfield went to Lane County with a proposal and Lane County has some issues with it, but they don't want to make a decision to say, no, we deny this. So you end up reading it 12 or 13 times. Well, I would prefer, and I think we would all prefer, that, you know, if the county has some real objections or concerns about something, just say so, and let's try and work through it. And I'm not picking on the county. I do this because I respect you.
Sure. And once again, not to draw this out, my concern is that if it's a tie vote, the vote fails for lack of being passed. In this case, if it doesn't reach fruition, does it fail because it didn't reach fruition and go away?
Well,
at the end of the timeline.
With or without timeline, as we were recommending, and without teeth, which we've never had, there is that possibility always that you can just talk something to death. But I think we need to kind of call ourselves back to a place where...
But as Councilor Moore pointed out, we're not just making a decision for us. We're all friends around this table, half a year. But sometime in the future, could somebody draw a hard line on it and say, well, you know, we didn't pass it within 180 days, so it's gone.
I don't have a recommendation. There's nothing in here that addresses your point, I don't believe.
Okay.
I have a
day
Well, I think they would beat this pretty well to death. You know, I'm pretty satisfied personally that, you know, with the clarification of this is non-site specific thing we're dealing with, that, you know, I'm more comfortable without the timeline than being with it. So, you know, I would be willing to make a motion here that we accept, you know, what you propose minus 8 days.
The idea would be adopting an ordinance without the timeline language that is currently.
Which we have an ordinance that doesn't have timelines to pick from. We have two ordinances
That's the one.
Yes.
And I believe that Lake County and Eugene already have ordinances without timelines.
So you're making a motion?
Yes,
ma'am.
I would make that motion.
I have Faye and Ricky.
Thank you, Christine. I just trying to put this in the perspective of, you know, my service in 9 years here, and so most recently I think Lane County initiated a metro plan amendment with the coterminous UGB in Springfield, and I think that took in excess of 2 years to do. I don't believe there's any dragging of feet, and if there was a 120-day or 180-day timeline, I think it probably would have signaled that process would never pass because it was very complicated. There was a lot of work that was done between Springfield and Eugene, and then we also engaged with SUB with the water protection zone conversation. So, you know, I'm hesitant to read the timelines because these are very complicated, if they get started and places change around the table and perspectives and they don't become needed, then yeah, I guess they die. But I think in earnest, in the 9 years that I've been here, people try to move these things along as best as possible. You know, speaking for Lane County, we're limited on staff and time, but our staff works very hard to do what they can and meet timelines. And as was stated earlier, you know, getting us together as a group, we're lucky to meet together 4 times a year, so I'm comfortable with what our plan is and our documents say at the time.
Jenny?
Oh,
I'm
always going to say is, to me, it's kind of, if you're going to do something, it seems like your worry is knowing what's hanging something up. So if that's the case, then you, instead of having a 120-day cutoff point, it's a 120-day check-in, what's happening with it kind of thing. And that makes people feel better about it. I don't think that would be a problem to do that, but it certainly doesn't put a limit on when something has to be completed. But I think we're fine with it.
Just an added thought, Mrs. Robinson made sure that myself and other commissioners kept this item before us, so we were fully
And 2 years is outstanding on that, just so you know. I promise, Harry, I thought 2 years was great.
I would just probably feel more comfortable. I'm a little bit leery saying we're going to have substantially similar language on this, but then the way we extend this is carried in 3 separate documents that are separately adopted by the jurisdictions. If we're going to have this, we should have the amendment or the extension process in this as well. That's my thought.
Well, maybe I'll just none of us initiates some sort of an amendment in a frivolous manner. It's always with good intentions, with a meaningful purpose, and with a goal in mind. And so I don't anticipate that somebody won't be watchdogging anything that we put forward to begin with. And if it's more comfortable for people, I'm certainly okay with a check-in point, as long as it doesn't become burdensome on staff to do a check-in where we can say, oh yeah, so you come from this far, because sometimes it's helpful with constituents too that ask about what the heck we're doing and why is it taking so long to be able to have an explanation as to what is going on. So I'm comfortable with that. I would have a tendency to not want specific timelines, though, either, because it has meant, and our coterminous is a good example, is it was done in the best of intentions, but we had lots of concerns and issues that we needed. We just need to sit down, take time, and get our way together and have way more than one conversation about it at the staff level and with the policymakers. So it just did take a while, and we have taken, himself did take a while, because I just came on the council when it first became a gleam in somebody's eye, and look how long it did take before there was a hospital on that spot. So it does take time.
Let me, we're coming to the close of the session here. I wondered, is there consensus about the notion of setting a 120-day check-in? And I've heard a couple of people speak to that effect. I guess what I'm getting to is leave off timelines and sort of language that would call for 120-day check-in. I'm trying to get closure so that as we close out here, we're all in agreement on what the chapter 4 amendments are and what we're voting on as you go back to your different chambers.
So I have a question on that. So I guess my question would be, how would we do that? I mean, would you want it framed so that's done administratively? Do you want a 120-day check-in with the joint elected officials? I mean, I think those are some of the questions we need to, that should be, if we're going to talk about 128 check-in. I mean, for me personally, it'd be done administratively. It'd be the planners talking to each other about some of these things, and then they could check in with the respective bodies. So I guess that's my only question with this.
Yeah, I'm not advocating the check-in. I'm just trying to, again, yeah. Kind of steer us towards
simple communication, just so we know the status of where they are.
Very good.
That's even better.
And George, you had comments.
Well, I was just going to suggest, I don't know that it needs to be really complicated. That's just a memo to the various bodies, the electors of various bodies, and regarding this, you know, status. And here we are, 120 days, this is what we've done. These are the remaining steps, that are our next steps that we're going to take. And then if any of the bodies saw a problem, I'll send it to the cluster for a session.
It's the same concept, but the manager's laid out to me that 108 would be a more reasonable period than 120.
Yeah. Are we in agreement that maybe we can handle this administratively?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
I guess the other thing is, I was seeing head nods and voices of, well, maybe we can live without the timelines. Are we in consensus or agreement that we'll go forward with the ordinance minus the timeline references found in one of the two ordinances in Springfield?
Yes, so we're going to go forward with just one ordinance in the public hearing.
Yeah, and that ordinance will not have timelines. Everything else is, we're all on the same page that way. And Amy, make sure that the record reflects.
Is that going to be added also into the ordinance, the formal check-in?
What I was hearing was, if it's handled administratively, one, we could either put it into our implementing development codes.
Okay. And we have to all adopt identical codes.
That would fix it, right?
Yep, there it is.
Okay, so for tonight, for clarification, we're all going forward with the ordinance that has no timelines in it that will be in the metro plan. The chapter. All right, so, yes.
Are you talking about what's going to be the subject of the public hearing?
Yes. Yeah. Just the public, just for tonight's work.
Yeah. And again, no decisions tonight. We'll need to be adjourning, but I'm glad we're all on the same page that we can go back and we can all decide on the same thing.
So with that on my agenda, it's an adjournment of the work session and opening of the public hearing. So is everyone taking a good meeting to close?
Yes, the Eugene City Council will close the work session and will open the public hearing.
Lane County Board of Commissioners will...
we're making a great time.
Okay, so Lane County Board of Commissioners will adjourn the work session. We will now open the public hearing. So if I can read this into our... just lost it. So this will be the second meeting of public hearing on ordinance under PA 1300, a matter of amending the Eugene Springfield Metropolitan Area General Plan Test, Chapter 4, adopting the savings of severability clause and providing an effective...
I will open the public hearing on behalf of the City of Springfield. It's a first reading only this evening. We will have our second reading on November 18th. And Jeff, you want to read the ordinance?
Yes, item number one, amendments to Chapter 4, the Eugene Springfield Metropolitan Area General Plan, the Metro Plan, ordinance number one, ordinance amending the Eugene Springfield Metropolitan Area General Plan text, Chapter 4, adopting a cause and providing an effective date.
Okay. All right, so with that, I will open the public hearing. I don't have any cards for anyone wishing to speak. I'm looking for anyone who would like to. Seeing no no one, I'm going to close public hearings for Springfield.
So the Lincoln County Board of Commissioners will close the public hearing, and if we could, so Commissioners.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion that we move the second reading, third reading. Ordinance number.
Ordinance number PA 1300.
PA 1300, we're citing a third reading for November 18th, no time certain for potential.
Second.
Okay, so the motion is second, so we can discuss with the Lincoln County Board of Commissioners. Seeing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Here's 4-0 with Commissioner Bozovich excused.
I
closed it for.
So we need to say, yeah, you have an announcement over here on the record.
Yes. Before we. Yes, do we want to keep the record up now? What do we do?
Okay, this is why we have lawyers.
So you need to close the record and then close the hearing. Right, but if we wanted to keep it open.
The hearing.
Yeah, we need to.
We need to have a motion to close the record.
Separate.
Yes.
Before we close the hearing. Yes?
Yes.
So
I'm unclosing.
Oreo.
You can go ahead and do it now.
Oh, well, you
can close the hearing, yes.
Oh.
No.
And keep the record, no?
It's okay, you've unclosed the hearing.
Okay, we've unclosed the hearing, but the decision is, do we want to keep it, keep the public record open? So there's a couple of choices.
Right.
We can close the record and at this time. We can the hearing is closed, but the record will remain open and have it open for say a 7-day period, or the hearing will be continued to a date and time certain.
I just suggest that means we had no public comment, no request for leaving the record open, I would move that we close the record.
I have to do the same thing. I have to say that unless I hear from any of you counselors wanting to do different, yes, Councilor Brown.
When is our public hearing scheduled?
This is it.
This is the joint.
Yeah.
Yes. It's going to take action on the 18th.
That's right.
18th. Okay.
Any objection anybody have other than that?
Nope.
So then record hearing and record are closed. And then you have your piece too.
Yeah, I just checked in with legal counsel. I think we're okay unless the board really wants to take some sort of formal here. If we really need to open this up, we could, but I think looking at Andy, I think we're fine. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay, we're good.
And the Springfield City Council is okay with closing the record tonight?
Yes.
Okay. So now we'll close the public hearing for Springfield City Council.
Close the public hearing for Eugene City Council.
We're only closed.
No. Okay,
closed and done.
Okay, so then we are adjourned. Thank you all.
Thank you.